Chapter 3.
Same to you, buddy, Chris muttered as security pushed him out of the club. That was his third club this week, and truth be told, he was starting to despair of ever getting his shot at fame. Well, not even fame, but just a shot at a paying gig, or a job that didn't involve cleaning up other people's dirt. He knew he was good, better than most of the guys they did hire. He could sing, play guitar and piano, any style you wanted. But just because he wasn't all technoed up, they wouldn't even give him the time of day. Wasn't even like it was his fault. His parents hadn't been rich. Just two farmers in a small Arkansas town. And even if the local preacher had been willing to forgive them the crime of cyberware, they couldn't have afforded even the most basic of upgrades. And even if they could, it wasn't just as simple as plugging stuff in. There were complications and cybershock and 1,000 other things that could mess you up. Chris still thought it just wasn't worth the risk. It hadn't really been an issue until he'd gotten to the city. Nothing worked here without an interface. Cars, phones, hell, even toasters needed some sort of input these days. So he was consigned to work an endless stream of dead-end jobs while his dream slipped away. Clubs wanted someone who could interface with their sound systems, plug right into their presets, and just rip. Guitars without strings, pianos without keys, it was a step too far away from where he'd grown up, where all you needed was a song in your heart and 6 strings to pick it out on. But that didn't mean he was giving up. Not while he still had breath. He pushed open the door to his building, thankful that he lived in his almost derelict apartment, free from any sort of technology. It wasn't the plaza, Moritz's run-down, beaten-up cousin, but it was the best he was going to get on his paycheck. The place was quiet, everyone out at work or just plain out. Times like these, he savored the chance to pull out his guitar and play whatever came to mind. But truth was, he needed more than that to calm down tonight. And he knew just what he needed. Reaching the staircase, instead of going up, he went down, skipping the steps 2 at a time. He had a hidey hole down in the basement, where he kept the stuff too important to keep in some apartment with a crappy lock and a crappier door, where he could play whatever he wanted without his neighbors hammering on the walls. He pulled his guitar case off his back, searching through the front pocket for a key ring. Whistling, he made his way down the hall, jingling the keys as he went. Unlocking the door, he pushed it open, balancing the guitar case so it didn't slide off his shoulder as he groped for the light. He winced as the fluorescent bulb flashed on, closing his eyes against the harsh glare. He left the door open a fraction as he propped the guitar case against the wall and made his way over to the cardboard boxes. He pulled the top box off and jumped a mile. There was someone behind his boxes. Chris put the box back down and slipped his keys into his fist. Last thing he wanted was to deal with some belligerent drunk. That'd just be the perfect end to the perfect damned day. He edged his way around the boxes, peering over the cardboard. On the floor, back to the wall and kind of curled in on himself, was a man dressed in leather. Real, too, by the look of it, and thick. Chris nudged his foot, but there was nothing. No movement, not even a twitch. Chris moved a little closer, hunkering down. Didn't smell like a drunk, and leather wasn't exactly what the city bums were wearing out in the gutter. "Hey, man," Chris tried. "You okay?" He ducked his head a little more, trying to get an angle to see the face under the black hair. Reaching in, he picked up one of the guy's wrists, fingers trying to feel for a pulse. The skin under his fingers flashed silver and... "Holy shit!" He stumbled backwards, scrambling until his back was to the other wall. He looked up. "Sorry, Mama, but..." His eyes dropped until they were resting on the mass of... wires? Snakes? Needles? Ports? The hell? That were coming out of the guy's wrist. Whatever they were moving to their own damn beat, searching him out. And damned if that wasn't freaking him the hell out. He'd seen weird in his time, but man! Felt like his heart was about ready to jump out of his throat. Eventually, the wires coiled back in on themselves and disappeared back into the silver. The silver flickered back to flesh, and Chris was so damned confused right about then. He'd never seen anything even close to that before. Sure, he never got to see the flashy stuff, but surely he would have heard about it on the news or on the side of a bus. But even the guys he worked with and their millions of magazines didn't have anything like this in them. When his heart was back to beating again, he stepped forward a whole hell of a lot more carefully than he had the first time. He reached out, some little voice in the back of his mind that couldn't have been his, telling him that it was all going to be okay. As his fingers skimmed over the other man's skin, it shimmered silver again. The cables, he was almost sure they were cables, reaching out, brushing over his skin. The connection ports at the ends of the cables shifted and changed, flowing from one to the other almost faster than he could blink. Wires blended, merged, then separated as he watched. He was lost in the dance until he noticed a red gleam shine through one of the wires. Frowning, he followed it up until he saw the stream of blood down the skin towards the man's hand. Another followed it, and now Chris was worried. Taking a chance, he reached out, tilting the guy's head back, and cursed. Under a layer of caking blood, Chris could make out a multitude of tiny cuts and the beginnings of a mass of bruises just starting to blossom along the guy's chin. "Geez, you've been worked over, haven't you?" He reached out again, feeling for a pulse this time. Adam's apple, then left, a breath, and the wires whipped out again, sharp-edged and lethal, and Chris cried out in surprise. When he looked down at his hand, he could see a line of blood on it. And that's when the pain started. Brushing a finger over the wound, he was surprised to see that it was little more than a scratch. Sample obtained. Chris jumped as the man spoke, his voice rich and higher pitched than he thought it would be, but utterly devoid of emotion. It sounded like a computer's artificial accent, just a flat monotone, and Chris frowned. "You had me worried there, man," Chris spoke quietly. "DNA sequencing processed. Searching Cerberus local employee database," the man continued. "No records found. Expanding to Cerberus international employee database. No records found. Expanding to all known law enforcement databases." The man's eyes hadn't opened, and he was dead still. The only parts of him moving were his lips and his chest, rising and falling with his breathing. Chris backed away. This was getting a damned sight more freaky than he wanted to deal with. Hell, if his stuff wasn't here, he'd have been diving for the stairs and calling the cops. "No records found. Expanding to city immigration records." Chris wiped the back of his hand again, trying not to scratch the itch that was playing around the cut. He wondered who the hell the guy was, or maybe that should be what he was. Being one of the cyber neutrals in the city, Chris was used to being stopped for ID checks and profiled, but none of the cops had been able to eliminate entire databases that quickly. He was usually standing there, hands on the hood of the cruiser for at least 10 minutes, while the cops thumped the sides of the ID unit and cursed their connection speeds. "Subject found," he spoke again. "Christopher Neil Allen. Identification code AKJKS85-10440005N. No warrants outstanding. Cyber profile null. Last updated current -3 hours. No known affiliations to any organized or corporate syndicates. Private entry purchased. No corporate sponsorship. Employment profile, day worker. Threat level, nil." Chris had to admit that he was a little offended by that last bit. He'd taken self-defense courses. He knew how to take care of himself. He wasn't exactly the shy and retiring kind. He could do plenty of damage if he wanted. Temporary clearance granted. The ever-loving hell. The guy looked up at him, eyes intense. Christopher Neil Allen, we require your assistance.